our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we truly believe that you're here, Lord. And Father, sometimes I wonder in my heart that if the reality of your word has not become to the total place that it has meant to be. And yet we know, Father, that in this hour you have yourself come down. You've vindicated your presence among us with many infallible proofs. You brought forth a vindicated word through a vindicated prophet, vindicating him by your personal presence. And Father, sometimes I wonder if we don't want something physical, if we just seem, Lord, not to be responding the way that we should. Believing, Father, that maybe in our hearts as human beings we're, as your own Son Jesus himself said, that the flesh is, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Lord, we're so tied to the six senses that, to the five senses, I believe. But Father, we know that there is a sixth sense. And Father, we believe that it comes to them who are quickened by your divine nature, your divine love, your divine presence. It's your life, your word. And so, Father, I just pray that you take a hold of this service, take a hold of the hearts and minds of your people. May we enter into the conduit of your thinking, getting our thinking set aside and knowing it is vain and vain only. And help us to cleave unto thee, the author and the finisher of our faith. For, Father, we've come to the place of our father Abraham. When he looked at the deadness of his own body, he knew that unless the Lord buildeth the house, he that buildeth in vain. And, Father, we know that unless you do it, it's not going to get done. And so, Lord, we cling to thee, knowing that your word is power. It's dunamis. And Father, we just ask that you would bring forth the power, that resurrection power that lays within your word. May it manifest, Lord, in every fiber of our body, bringing us into subjection to your word, bringing us into a resurrected condition. For we ask it in Jesus' name, getting us ready for the shout, the voice, the trump. Believing the shout has come, Lord, awaiting the voice of the resurrection. And Lord, we believe that as word is piled upon word, it shall take a hold of every fiber of our body. And this is the condition we come to thee, Lord. Believing, thus saith the Lord. And when we've done all we can do to stand, then Father, we're simply standing. In Jesus' name. Bring forth that rest, we ask. Amen. Amen. We're continuing in the Seed Is Not Air with a Shuck. This will be number 18. And I never thought we'd have this many messages. Actually, I thought we'd be done around maybe 12 or so, but it looked like for a while there we would. But just little things that keep popping up, and I really believe that, as Peter said, stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. We're living in an hour, brother, sister, where the long-suffering of God waited, as it was in the days of Noah, when only 8 souls were saved. There was 120 years of preaching repentance to the people, and the ark was the door of the ark was closed, but God closed the door. And so, I think we need to do as Brother Branham said: just lay in the presence of the sun, and just keep soaking in the same rays over and over and over again until finally those rays begin to transform every fiber of our body. Now, Sunday we spoke from paragraphs 126 through 133. And we mainly focused our attention on what Brother Branham had to say pertaining to the people eating a vulture diet of rotten, maggot-infested food from another day. And we looked at the scripture in the light of this statement, and show that the people who are not ordained to receive the vindicated word of God will go backwards. They've got to go backwards. And in fact, they must go backwards. And there is no way of stopping them. It is spoken in God's word that they will do so. Now think about that. You realize that the things happening all around us, the things in politics, the things in the economy, the things with health, the crisis of AIDS, and all these things were foreordained of God, predestined to happen in the very day that we live. Well, then it's not so hard to imagine, brother, sister. It doesn't take imagination, it takes reality. To be able to look out and see all the things happening around you in the spiritual world and realize that every bit of it was ordained by your Father to take place. And not a thing is out of kilter. The wheel is in the wheel. It's all moving in God's timing. So if it is spoken in God's word that they had to go backwards because he said they would go backwards, then we see that they will and they must go backwards. And let's face it, it is in their attributes, spiritually speaking, to do so. He said you would never see an eagle eating rotten food. And he said it can't do it. And then he said, and neither can the true church eat old spiritual manna. It just can't do it. So as we have studied Genesis 1:11 that says every seed must bring forth after its kind, then we know then that if the genes dictate our eating habits, then there is nothing we can do to stop ourselves outside of suicide. Pigs eat pig's food, and dogs eat dog food. But sons of God feed on the things of God. He said if you're born of the Father, born of the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit. See? So it's just that simple. Now, in looking at what we examined Sunday about going backwards, we see that to do so is spiritually, it's spiritual death. Then for these people in this message to be looking backward, it must be the same, spiritual death. And remember what Brother Branham told Brother Vail in the audio letter, 1964. He said, would it be, you think, advisable in here to say that God then, in order to proclaim this, has to send a prophet in order to inject this, make this real again, to show the people the hour we're living in? Can you imagine, brother, sister, where we would be if all we had was the doctrine and all we had was the theology, but we had no God on the scene, vindicating and making it real? Because let's face it, the manifestation of the revelation is the reality of the revelation. And remember, in the beginning, there was God. And in him was thought. And when God began to formulate that thought, when God began to become, when God began to become, like Brother Bram called him, the becoming God, when God began to bring himself into fulfillment, those words then went forth in the form, those thoughts went forth in the form of word. Those words took on flesh and became a reality. God came down, just think of it now, God came down in the days of Abraham. He spoke to Abraham by vision the first time, which a vision, brother, sister, is not a personal appearing. A vision is not a personal presence. But God by vision spoke to Abraham. And he told Abraham what was going to happen. Well, to that point, brother, sister, you didn't have a reality. You didn't have a manifestation. You simply had Abraham turning into a channel, like you could turn into a TV channel or radio channel, and picking up a message, which Brother Branham's message has been on the radio. It's on every Saturday morning. They've taken it off the air, but I think it's on Saturday afternoon still. People could hear the prophet, and yet what good did it do? There's no reality there to them. See? But when God then himself came down and brought into reality the promise. Now think of it. Up to that point, Abraham wandered for 25 years, not because of a personal presence, but because of a vision and a promise. But after 25 years, in the 25th year, the very presence of God came down and brought into manifestation the promise and made the promise real. Now, we could take that through the scripture time and time again. God came down. The people had a promise through Joseph that God would restore them back to their land of promise. They had come down to Egypt. He said, God will take you up, take you up. Moses came on the scene. He said, you know, we have a promise for this day. God had not yet appeared to Moses. Moses came on the scene and said, hey, I've got a message for you. God sent me to deliver you. And the people laughed and they made fun. Moses took flight, went in the wilderness, and then God let him de-educate himself for 40 years, all his theology. God let him wonder if he had been right, if his theology had been right. And then God came down himself and said, Moses, Moses. He said, I want you to go down and deliver the people. I'll go with you. Moses said, ha, they didn't listen to me the first time. God said, this time it'll be different. There'll be vindication. My personal presence will go with you. And Moses said, how is it, Lord, that the people will know that we have found favor? He said, my personal presence will go with you. And he said, then, Lord, if you go not with us, we don't want to go. So God went down. And this time, brother, sister, they listened. Why? Because the promise had become a reality. How? Because it was manifested to them. Now, just because it was manifested to them, now listen. The people who left Egypt were a type of the foolish virgin. When 2 million people left Egypt, left the denominational church. In fact, we know, we've read quotes different times where Brother Ram called Egypt a type of the church. Pharaoh was a type of the pastor, you know, lorded over the people. And so the people left their denominational system. 2 million people. And yet only two out of that original 2 million that were over 20 entered in. And I think we've got the same thing taking place. Of all the ministries today, all the people that were around when Brother Branham, did you know that not even probably 2% in this message ever, that follow this message now, ever saw the prophet alive? Except for maybe kids like Levon and different ones that were young enough, too young to really know what was going on. Realize it's that slim pickings. All you gotta do is look at this church here. My wife's the only one. Go up to Brother Vale's church, him and his wife. And a couple others went down a couple times, a few times, saw the prophet. Not too many. Go down to Jeffersonville. How many of those people in the tabernacle outside of some of the old timers ever saw the prophet? Ever were there and saw the manifestations of God take place? More blessed are ye that have not seen and yet believe. And so what happened? Those over 20, they wandered off. They actually had a desire in their heart to go back to Egypt. Now really, up until the last few years, I never understood what they thought about when they thought about garlics and leeks and things like that, because I could never stand the stuff. But now I understand why they enjoyed that. I mean, it's tremendous food. It takes a good cook, I guess, to get you turned around that way. But what we're looking at, and what Brother Brandon brought out to us, what we read from Sunday, is we're talking about a reality. We're talking about the Word has got to come to the place, brother, sister, where it's, Brother Brandon said, it's so real. He said, like, it'll become so, such part of your nature that it'll be like breathing. See? Now, As we said, Brother Branham, and just quoting him, what he said here from the audio letter, he said, "Would it be, you think, advisable in here to say that God would then, in order to proclaim this, has to send his prophet, or has to send a prophet then in order to inject this, to make this real again, to show the people the hour we're living in? Because if they only see it in the hour past, then there's no hope for the people. The church must see it in the present tense. So God sends his prophet, notice, to manifest present tense of it." You see? And then after it's over, then history is. Now you might inject that, Brother Lee. I don't know whether that's good or not, but it's just a thought right here. Thanks a lot. Now, present tense. Are we looking at this message present tense? Are you becoming more and more looking at this message present tense? See? Remember, because in the rapture, he said it's the revelation of the manifestation. And brother, sister, if you can't, the only thing that you're looking back at is the fact of the manifestation. And when you see the manifestation, many people saw this, doesn't mean a thing to them. Many people saw that, didn't mean a thing to them. Many people in the message, they saw that, but what they're focusing on is the one below and not the one above. So really, what's manifested? The man or Christ? So if it's the man that's manifested to the people, then that's their revelation. That's their focus. You see what I'm talking about? But if it's the one who's standing above in the form of the pillar of fire, if that's their focus, then that's their revelation, right? Then that's the manifestation. Because you can look at that picture and you can see two manifestations. You can see a man and you can see Jesus Christ above the man. What catches your eye? Whatever catches your eye, that's the manifestation to you. And brother, sister, unless you enter into that revelation, unless you receive a revelation of that manifestation, you're not one with that picture. You're not one with that happening. See? So what we're dealing with then is the thoughts of God was manifested before the foundations of the world. God said in his thoughts he would come. He would have a shout. He would gather together his elect. That's his thoughts. God then manifested that, coming down with a shout. Shall not the judge of all the earth descend? He shall descend with a shout. See? Now, your ability to receive that, and to receive that in the light of what it is called revelation. And if you've got a revelation of the manifestation, then you actually have the mind of God that planned out the manifestation. You see? Okay, now. He said, it's the revelation of the manifestation of the Word made true. And we're living in that day. Praise be to God, the revelation of the mystery of himself. From the trial, he said, in the last days, the end, the seventh angel's seventh messenger's message, all that these scriptures would be made real and made manifest. So we find, brother, sister, the reality is the manifestation. And I think that's what we all long for in our hearts, really, is that the Word would so become so real to us that you wouldn't have to pinch yourself, but you'd know that you know that you know. Now notice he said they are made real because why? Because they were made manifest. But unless it is revealed what the manifestation is, you will not even recognize it, and therefore the life that's in it cannot unleash itself in you. It is first manifested, then revealed, and this revelation is what quickens you. Now here's a problem that we truly face in this hour. There are literally millions of people who actually claim to be born again in every walk of life, every shape, every walk. Now, anyone in their right mind could tell you that these people are just lying dogs. It wouldn't even take a person with an ounce of brain power to look at the likes of Tammy Baker and know that she has no more a part of God's own life in her. And I don't mean to be crude, but she has no more of God's own life in her than a pile of horse manure. In fact, the horse manure at least had been a genuine food at one point in its life cycle, or its life journey. But axle grease is only man-made. Say. And like Brother Bram called them, cannon fodder. That's getting pretty, what you might call, straightforward. Now from the rapture, Brother Bram said, now it's all to be manifested in the grain of wheat at the end. Now if you take Luke the 17th chapter and 30th verse, he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man begins to reveal himself, and what is revealed? To make his revelation of what he is in this day revealed out to the people. The word that's made known for the day, revealed to the people by, notice, revealed by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, making that Jesus live among us. The fact that you see Jesus. Shows his revelation. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, again he said, the new birth is Christ and it is a revelation. Then I wonder, and let me just finish, God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Then I wonder how many people have truly been born again that you know, that profess Malachi 4. Brother, sister, unless they can see Christ, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, not the old Pentecostal idiom, or what do they call it, where they repeat over and over again, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever, hallelujah. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever, praise the Lord. And they work themselves up into an emotion. The new birth is Christ, and he is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions? So how's it being expressed? By the same actions, the same things that he did, making that word, or making the word manifest. In other words, a reality. Or if the church only knew its position. And that's why it's not being manifest. You know that? Because you're still looking backwards at what a great thing God has done in this hour. And you're still looking forward to the day you can get out of here. And you're failing to recognize what is he doing today. Why is he willing to wait for the church, the true bride? And why am I not ready? And why am I making him wait? And what is there that he wants me to do? Or what is there that he wants me to know? Because let's face it, all the conflict there is in the world, you know, people say, well, it's all prejudice. You know, the blacks hate the whites hate the yellows hate the blacks. But is that really what it is? You've got black killing black in Africa, you've got white killing white in New York City, and in high schools all throughout the nation. I think it comes down to one thing, the mind. Let's face it, where does hate lie? Is it in your eyes? Is it in your feel? Is it in your smell? It's in your mind. Where does the greatest battle ever fought take place? It's in your mind. Then if it's in our mind, brother, sister, and doesn't the Bible tell us that we're to come into His thinking, His glory, His opinion? Then if there's anything, any part of you that is not ready, you know what it is? It's one thing. It's your mind. Your body is as ready as it'll ever be, because it has no part of the resurrection anyway. Let's face it, you get a glorified body. So what's holding you back? Your mind. What's holding back the rapture? Your mind, my mind. Then what causes people to look backwards? It's their mind. What causes them to look forwards? It's their mind. And brother, sister, the whole thing lays. It couldn't be any more real. But the lack of reality only lies in the mind. Now, I could turn off the lights in here. And many of you, being in pitch black, would begin to have a fear. What are you afraid of? It's in your mind. Huh? Think about it. Then the greatest battle ever fought is in the mind. And what is he here to take over? Your own thinking. Okay? Now, if the church only knew its position, and it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Now, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, reading verse 10, he said, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he said he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know." Now, what is the word know? Remember, it's a word gnosko. And what does it mean? Howard? Okay. Understand? Man? Okay, intimate knowledge or intimate relationship. Okay. Now, what does the word intimate imply? Dwayne? Close relationship. Okay. Levon? Intimate. What does it imply? Yeah, personal, very personal. It's secretive in the way that no one else knows about it. It's something that's only you and that person know. But what is the whole thing? When you think about it, intimate knowledge, what does it imply? An experiential knowledge. And what is that? It's not theology. It's not doctrine per se. But an experiential knowledge, brother, sister, is something you experience. And by way of experience, it becomes light. It becomes understanding. You've all heard the word, the old school of hard knocks. It's the best way of education. Best way to educate someone is to send them to the school of hard knocks. Well, what is it? It's an experience. It's brother, sister, it's not just reading a book. But it's, like Brother Ben said, walking in the Indians' moccasins. See? And what we're looking at is, Brother Brown said, it's the revelation of the manifestation. How many of you ever had things happen? And maybe you waited and waited and waited, and all of a sudden then something happened. And that thing that happened put all the other pieces together. That's gnosko. That's an experiential knowledge. Something that you experienced, and because of all the other things happening in the order that they happened, it just lined it all up together. Isn't that what a relationship is all about? Dress himself, fulfill himself. So he had to manifest himself. When he manifested himself, his seed saw the manifestation. Because of his life that was in him, it was revealed to them what that manifestation was. Then as it was revealed to them, that revealing is a quickening. As Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sins. And as you're quickened, what happens? The very same manifestation begins to build in you, begins to take over you. Then you're back to Alpha's Omega. The thought manifested. Thought or revelation manifested. You see it? Then what is it? If you were God's thoughts before the foundations of the world, then you were God's revelation. Right? It was revealed in him that you would come forth. So, when you came forth, you were the manifestation of his revelation. And when he stepped down into manifested form, the life that was in you that was dormant was quickened to the manifestation of him. That quickening then enlightened you, was a revelation to you, and it began to work in you what you saw manifested in him. Do you see that? If you go with me to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, let's just read the whole chapter. In fact, we'll start at verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of recommendation from you? You, brethren, are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now, what's he saying? He said, do I need a piece of paper? Something that says, yeah, he's a brother in good standing. Or do they know what I preach when they see your lives? That's what Paul's saying. They see in you. They see manifested in you what is revealed to me. Can you say amen to that? That's a beautiful thing. For as much then as you are absolutely, manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. In other words, a godly direction. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Paul's saying, look, I'm not bragging on myself. Because really, when it comes down to it, look, I've got the same rotten, sinful flesh as anyone else. But there's something happening when we become a conduit of the Holy Spirit. Now, the conduit itself has no great thing to talk about, right? I mean, think about it. A garden hose. What's there so great about a garden hose? But the fact is that that garden hose becomes a conduit for life to the seed that lays out in the garden. See? So he goes on and says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." The letter killeth. The letter killeth. You know, I was going to say this for later, but I think I'll just bring it up now. You know, in Daniel 12 and 4 it says that knowledge will increase and many will be running to and fro up until the time of the end. And we found out in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, it says, it tells us that they will be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now remember in John 6 and 44, he says, all that the Father draws will come. Or no man can come unless the Father draw him. And we know that drawing is attraction. See, the Father has to attract. And then he says, and it'll be said in that day. In fact, let me just turn to it real quickly. John 6 and 44. Every man, therefore, and it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So there's got to be a learning. And yet the Scripture says that in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, says that knowledge will increase and many will be running to and fro up until the time of the end. And in 2 Timothy 3 and 7, it tells us that they will be ever learning. Learning what? They will ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we know that He is the truth, the way, and the life. And He is the Word. He said, my words are spirit and they're truth. See? So we see that the knowledge will be of all sorts of things, but what is really needed for a rapture? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And remember, Brother Brown said, if they only see it in the hour past, then there's no hope for the church. And I want that to burn in your hearts. The church must see it in the present tense. So God sends His prophet to manifest present tense of it. So to go backwards looking for God is absolutely a death wish. And you can't do it unless you're ordained to it. We saw what happened to the people who come to the Word looking for life, but instead they find wisdom, and they find order, and they find the beauty of Scripture. And if you think about those people, listen, the intellectual gets hooked on the wisdom, while the legalist gets sidetracked by the order. You ever notice different churches take on different spirits? Some churches are very legalistic. All the churches are looking for the life that lays in the Word. But some churches come up to the church order, they begin to examine that, and they can't get off of it. They're so engrossed in the order that they can't get to the life. Others are so engrossed in the wisdom, always having revelations, always talking about the deeper things of God. I preached in a few churches where the people were like that, pastors were like that. Always looking into theophanies or some mysterious something. And others, are there those who are just caught up into the beauty, kind of the charismatic types. Everything's beautiful. The Word is beautiful. God is beautiful. Life is beautiful. They may not have any order. They could care less about the wisdom. But everything is beautiful. You know, that kind.
And they all end up going backwards. We saw what happened to people who come to the Word looking for life, but instead they find the wisdom, the order, and the beauty of Scripture. The intellectual gets hooked on the wisdom, while the legalist gets sidetracked by the order and the spiritual babe. Not even weaned from the milk of the Word gets hooked on its beauty. But the predestinated elect lady is attracted by the beauty of the Word. But she sees a need for the order. And she feeds on the wisdom. And as a result, she is drawn to him, and the life he has come down with comes into her, and she is impregnated with his own life. And Colossians 3 and 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. If you follow this through in 2 Corinthians, he says, but verse 6, he says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, not of the order, not of the wisdom, not even of the beauty, but of that life, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, if the ministration of order be glory, or be glorious, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of right wiseness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their, notice, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil of tradition shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory, the doxa, the opinion, the assessment of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord, are changed into the same image, the same judgment, the same assessment, from glory, from doxa, from judgment to doxa, from judgment to judgment, from opinion to opinion. Even as by what? The Spirit. My words are spirit, my words are life. Even as by the life of the Lord. You realize, brother, sister, that Paul was saying that as the Word came forth and the people begin to see the manifestation, that the revelation of the manifestation is where the life lays. Not the wisdom, not the beauty, not the order, but the revelation of the manifestation. That's something. Because what gave you life? Was it the fact someone said God sent a prophet? No, that might have been the beauty. Might have been the wisdom a little bit too. And then you come into it and you might have seen the order. And the more the order you saw, the more you realized and reckoned in yourself that you weren't fit. And that didn't bring you closer to God. That made you want to run from him. But what brought this changing from glory to glory? It only comes, brother, sister, by the Spirit, by the life that lays within the revelation. And the very fact that that revelation, when you first come in, brother, sister, you saw a man and something over his head. But I can say, by God's grace, today you see the pillar of fire shining down upon a prophet. And your whole conception is changed by revelation. Your whole conception of the manifestation is transformed by a revelation. And in that transformation, the renewing of the mind brings forth the transformation. And the very fact that you're here tonight, the very fact that your minds are being changed from glory to glory, and your mind is being renewed, shows that every fiber of your body is under transformation, even at this time. Because he didn't say, after word is piled upon word, he said, when word is piled upon word upon word upon word. Now there's a big difference. Brother Bam used the same difference when he said, after that you believed, you'd be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not when, but after. And in this circumstances, he said when. He didn't say after. And so the very life of the Word is actually taking hold of every fiber of your body. We find in 1 John, chapter 1, remember Paul said, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespass and sin, trespass and unbelief. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, see that's a doctrine, which we have seen with our eyes as the manifestation, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the blank of blank. What does it say? The word of what? Of life. For the what was manifested. And we have what? Seen it. Experienced it and bear witness and show unto you who, brother? Hallelujah. How in the world could John in 95 AD or 90 AD when he wrote this show them that which he had heard and seen back in 33 AD. 62 years, and John said, that which was from the beginning, which is before time began, which we have heard, that which was from the beginning. Well, let's go back to the very first thing John ever wrote. What did he say? In the beginning was what? The Word. And he said the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, then here he says, that which was from the beginning. God. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. The manifested revelation. Then he says, for the life was manifested. The revelation became manifested. and we've seen it. And Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He said, it's said in parables so that seeing they won't see, hearing they won't hear, but to you it's given to know the mysteries. And the life was manifested, and we have seen it. It's been revealed to us. And now we bear witness. How do you bear witness of a life? And show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Do you see what he's saying? In that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. He's saying exactly, brother, sister, that that revelation, that life, it became revealed. It became manifested. We saw it. And in seeing it, we perceived, we understood, it became revealed. And now, it's taking over us. And it's now manifesting through us. And now, we show it unto you. Oh, hallelujah. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And how do we show it? Through word. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We turn to John chapter, 1 John chapter 3. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, because we've been called everything else up to this point. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And how can it know him unless it's got his life? But beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be outwardly. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And there's something about seeing him as he is, brother, sister, brings you into his image. Now, I don't know what you're seeing in this thing, but the seed is not air with the shuck. And Brother Bram keeps letting us know the seed is predestinated to see it. The shuck is ordained not to see it. So there's something about seeing the manifested Christ of all ages. That brings forth revelation. It's a revealing. And there's something about that revelation, brother, sister, that brings forth the very life of the manifestation. And the life of the manifestation is catching away a bride. The revelation of the manifestation is catching away a bride. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we keep pointing, Father, knowing that there's something so sublime, and that your life lays within the revelation of the manifestation. Not the manifestation itself, because what good did it do 5 billion people on this earth that you came down? Many people have seen the picture in Life magazine. Literally millions of people. Literally millions of people heard your prophet's voice. So through the voice and through the eyesight, millions of people have been witness. And yet they're not witnesses because they're blind and they cannot hear. And so what they saw was nothing to them. But Father, there's a few sheep here, a few sheep there, that they can't help themselves, but when they see what has taken place, And when they see the revelation of the manifestation, it quickens and the very life of the manifestation comes forth. And that which we've seen and that which we've heard of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we've seen it and we've beheld it, and now show we forth and manifest that which was from the beginning. And in that day ye shall know that I am in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. And as Brother Branham said, when he quoted that preacher one time, he said he put his name there for every promise of God. And he said, by his stripes, William Branham is healed. So say I, that which was from the beginning, which we've seen, which we've heard, which we've handled of the word of life. And in that day, you will know, Brian will know, that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, I in Brian, and Brian in me. And so, Lord, we, every person here this evening, place our own name there by revelation, for we commit it to thee in Jesus' precious name. Bring forth, Lord, that which is ordained to come forth in us, your very image, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's, before we close, just open up to John chapter 17. And I want you to repeat this, but I want you to put your name there. Let's go to verse 20. And when you hear the words where he says, their word, I want you to put your name. Or where it says, them, put your name. And so let's read this together. Neither pray I for Brian alone, but for Brian also, which shall believe on me through the word. That Brian all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that he also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given him, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in him, and thou in me, that thou mayest be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that Brian also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that he may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared them unto Brian thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in him, and I in them. Did you put your name there? You believe it's for you in this hour? You believe there's something, brother, sister, that somehow we're peeling away the shuck, we're peeling away the core, We're peeling away the wisdom, the beauty, and the order, and we're coming down to the kernel of life. That's what it's all about. We could have the musicians come forward.